easy for her to say she's old now. She doesn't have to go through what we have to go through. But I can tell you something. I've been where I was. I've been the age that you are. I've been an adult who was a child and an adult who was an adult. And I can tell you something. The only thing that made me an adult woman was what you guys have already been learning for the last 3 years of your life. You are beyond blessed to be in this situation. There is a beauty contest in Africa that requires a woman to be over 200 pounds to enter. What do you think? It's a very good guess and really close. Really close, she said, because in Africa there's a lot of poverty, and so if you're, you know, if it shows that you have enough money to buy food, that would be like in Fiddler on the Roof, right? My wife, my Golda, looking like a rich man's wife with a proper double chin. Same thing, yes? Your answer, but it's not the right answer, yes? Lovely answer, but not true either. She said maybe that's what they consider beautiful. Anyone else? Yes? That's the closest answer I've gotten from anyone, and I've asked this question all over North America. But it's not the answer either. Here's the answer. Because in Africa, skinny means dying of the AIDS epidemic. Get it? Our culture, our society dictates beauty to us for various reasons. But it is a dictate. It is not MS. You would be better off politicizing yourselves now as Jewish women to keep your eyes firmly turned away from the lies. Because the end result, the result is becoming what? Zero. Zero. So the next time you see an ad, ask yourself, is this a real woman or a cyber woman? Has she been airbrushed? How old is she really? Where are the lines on her face? Smile at each other. Turn to each other and smile. Just turn to each other. Whatever. Big smile. Like this. You see these lines here? Everybody has them. When they're my age, they're deep. When they're your age, they're not deep. The next time you open a magazine, I want you to look at the fashion spread and look to find the lines. You'll find they're gone. Here is what I want from you. We learn in our tradition that if you know something and you don't share the truth, that it is though you are withholding. I want you to tell somebody else what you heard today. And every time you hear that voice in your head that says, I'm too ugly, I'm too short, I'm too tall, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, I'm too this, I'm too that, just respond to yourself according to what? What am I measuring myself against? I promise all of you, you will find your beshert. And it won't matter what size you are or what your hair looks like, because that's not how he's going to find you. Your neshamas will find each other. Just ask Fred and Jennifer. I think that I need to stop now because I think I've gone on too long. I thought I was told. You just want to take a break from class. Think I'm stupid. Online. Oh, really? And you want me to go on?
Yeah.
I want you to eat, though. This is what I want. I'm going to read you some facts, some statistics, okay? I want you to hear them. Not all women with body image dissatisfaction have an eating disorder, but for those who do, the health effects are significant. Women who strive for, listen to this girl, less than 15% of ideal body weight are at risk for anorexia nervosa.
Anorexia is a serious, life-threatening disorder of deliberate self-starvation. Physical complications include cognitive disturbance, you get stupid, muscular weakness, changes in sleep patterns, electrolyte disturbance, anemia, dizziness, osteoporosis, so then you're thin but you walk like this, constipation, which is always fun, irregular menstruation, and possible infertility. Bulimia involves periodic episodes of uncontrollable excessive eating or binge eating, followed by self-induced vomiting or other purgative behaviors, laxative or diuretic use, excessive exercise. Physical complications include electrolyte imbalance, which may result in severe cardiac arrest, dehydration, swelling of fingers, ankles and faces, irregular menses, dental deterioration, and gastrointestinal disturbances. So you could be really thin, but you could also be really dead. And I think you'll find that when you're in your coffin, you will lose a lot of weight. There is plenty of time for that. Emotional complications of both anorexia and bulimia include lowered self-esteem. Gee, really, you think? Irritability, mood swings, as though we need more of those as teenagers, right? Anxiety, frustration, and possible depression. Socially, women may isolate themselves from others and have few, if any, close relationships. Politically, women may feel disempowered in helping herself. How many times have you heard women around you complaining about the way they look or asking, do I look fabulous? In a Glamour magazine survey, 75% of women aged 18 to 35 believed they were fat. Only 25% of them were medically overweight. 45% of underweight women thought they were too fat.
I'm going to read you something.
That's okay? Go on another minute. Mark on the page. Okay. The rights of beauty offer to sell women back an imitation of the light that is already ours. The central grace we are forbidden to say that we seek. To do so, they ask women to negotiate a three-dimensional world by two-dimensional rules. Women know that fashion photographs are professionally lit to imitate this radiant quality, but since we as women are trained to see ourselves as cheap imitations of fashion photographs, rather than seeing fashion photographs as cheap imitations of us, we are urged to study ways to light up our features as if they were photographs marred by motion. Acting as our own lighting designer and stylist and photographer, our faces handled like museum pieces, expertly lit with highlights, low lights, light effects, frost and glow, light powder, iridescence, and incandescence. I want you to go home and I want you, or go to the drugstore and I want you to look at the names of the beauty products up there. You know what you're going to find? The language is almost spiritual. Radiance, eternal light, luminescence. What is that? What is the light, girls? Even on some very subliminal level, we know that that light comes from within. We know that when you love somebody, you can't get enough of their face. You know that when you make friends with somebody, the sight of them coming towards you in the hall at school, on the street, in shul, magnificent. There's a comfort in seeing that face. How many of you sit at lunch talking to your best friend and go, okay, she just fixed her eyes a little bit. I just looked them up. She okay, and if you do that, I want you to stop. I want to tell you that there's a fabulous woman coming to speak in Toronto on March the 9th, is that next week? Her name is Gila Malinger. She spoke to you last year?
She's coming again.
Oh, you're going to hear her? Okay.
She spoke last year.
Oh, she's fantastic. So she's doing something called The Real Makeover. She's doing it at the Village Shul. Tell your mothers. I just think that we need a revolution and that Jewish women, as we know, are going to bring the redemption. But we're not going to do it buying in to the lies. We are going to do it with the strength of our own inner light. It is normal and completely okay to feel insecure, especially at your age. Just remember, that's what manufacturing depends upon. Really insecure girls that can be convinced to purchase something that they can be afraid that if they stop buying it, it will all fall apart. So, vote with your wallet. You decide who you're going to be. And just know something. Did anyone watch the red carpet this year? Girls. Do you all know who Joan Rivers is? Do we all know that Joan Rivers had made a creation of herself by doing lash and hora about other people's beauty, right? We know that.
Yeah.
And we know that she has spent an inordinate amount of time and money, because she speaks about it publicly, to try and hold back the hands of time. Now, let's be honest. Did you know that, who of you know, here's a little test. Which of our greats asked Hashem to show signs of aging on his face so that his children would know? Yes. Okay, why did he do that? What? And good. And everything else too, so his children would know where to go for wisdom, right? Yeah. What does the secular world, where did the secular world think we evolved from? When do we think was the greatest time in Jewish history? When were we the closest to the Almighty? Okay. Therefore, the older you are, the closer you are to what? And if you're in the secular world, the older you are, the closer you are to?
Monkeys.
Okay. So we are not supposed to be obsessed with youth. We are supposed to be concerned with wisdom. And not in all cases does that come with age. But please God, for all of you it will. So accept your fears and insecurities now. But try and educate yourself into how much of them are natural signs of growing older and becoming women, and how much of them have been thrust upon you by people who I used to be. Ask yourself that question every time you feel ugly, fat, stupid, bad hair, bad skin, smell bad. Ask yourself how much of your feeling has been thrust at you. I'm going to end by telling you that I launched a product a few years ago. It was a product that was meant to exfoliate cleavage. Why? Because women had exposed it so much that there was sun damage. In my grandmother's day, there was no sun damage there. And I hope there will never be any in yours either. I'm going to stop now, and I'm going to take some questions. Thank you for being such an incredibly respectful, quiet, okay, does anybody have any questions? Don't ask me what videos I did. Yes, of course. And if you go to the promenade, all you have to do is ask for the Orthodox skirt. That's what they call it now. Yeah. Oh, see? For power. Anybody else? Yeah.
It was been said to so many times.
Yeah.
In classes, and I never really understood it, and I think it's the people who were saying it had the right intentions, but they never said it correctly, right? And I don't
Okay.
Attracting means you are trying to sell your sex appeal. You want guys to walk by and go, she's hot. How's that? Is that what? Attracting means you are looking for attention of a sexual nature. That you are looking to be seen as somebody, Attractive means well-groomed, fashionable, clean, put together, but not trying to pick up a guy. Get the difference? It comes from intent, and the Torah world teaches us this really clearly. So much of what we're about comes from our intention. I'll give you a perfect example because it just came to me. You can call me. I love this. It just literally popped into my head. If you were on the subway in the Harlem of New York and you just wanted nobody to notice that there was a pretty young girl sitting there, how would you be? Head down, eyes averted, modest. Right? Now let's just say that wasn't your intent. And you were looking for attention. And you weren't in Harlem. Your coat would be open. You'd be like, look around. That's attracting. Attractive means something in between the subway in Harlem and this. Okay? And I think you know what I mean. Yep. Anyone else? Yes. Yeah. But she's right. And do you know that if Marilyn Monroe, who is the biggest beauty symbol of the 50s, came today, she'd be a 12-14, according to the sign trade, just so you know. Yes. Okay. So I had my own show for a long time, which was called Images with Adrian Gold. It was on Life Network, and it used to air 3 times a day because on cable they only had to pay you for one airing. So they would play it and play it and play it. And unfortunately, it still plays in reruns, and I was very decidedly unorthodox in those days. So it's a show's way of keeping me very humble. It's embarrassing. And I was also on. I stopped about 2 years ago, but the last thing I did was Canada AM, which is our morning news show. I was both the style expert, I was on twice a week talking about fashion and beauty, and then on Wednesday mornings doing something called Coffee Talk, which was an ethics discussion. And that was when I started branching out into other areas of sociology. And then for years before that, I did Phil Scott, Amy Kennedy, Shirley, all of those big sessions. Yes? Okay. When or how? Oh, that's such a great question. Do we have time for me to answer that?
Yeah.
Okay. You're making me feel great. How did I become from? Okay, well, it was a combination of things. I went to a home group, and I learned some stuff, and my husband kind of got interested. And we were really, really, really secular. And we sent our son to day school, our older boy. Who will be a guest at Orheim next year, so who knows, maybe one of you will be my daughter-in-law one day. She's like, I don't know. Can you imagine how nice your clothes will be if you win? Okay, so we started to, this is a really kind of neat story, we started learning actually, we got invited to a Learner's Minyan at the basement of the Sher Shemayim, which was actually run by one of the gentlemen from Torah in Motion, Dr. Elliot Malamud. And has he ever spoken here? Yeah, he should. He'd be great. Okay, so we started to go, and we didn't know anything about anything, but our son was in grade one at a Jewish day school, not an Orthodox one, but at a day school. He was in the middle of grade one, and so we would, of course, drive to Shul. Where would we park? Around the corner in the little cul-de-sac, so we could hide and walk and pretend. So we would do that, and we would go into this meeting. We'd been going for a few months, and we were really kind of enjoying it. He was brilliant, and it came into us
her intellect. And the only reason we really started to learn was because we thought, oh my gosh, we're not even be able to help her with his grade one homework. We better like learn something about where we come from. So we sat in here, and I really, really liked Dr. Melamed, and I really liked his wife, because I saw right away a Torah observant woman who was brilliant and articulate, and a man who understood how to make our tradition relevant. And I went, whoa, I like this. So the following week we drove, and it was a snowy day, and we drove by the shul, and there was a meter right in front of the shul. So my older son said, Ma, why don't we just park right there? It's closer and it's so cold out. And I said, oh no, Ty. It wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be right because this is an Orthodox shul and you're not really supposed to drive on Shabbat. And so we really shouldn't park there. So we're going to go around the corner. And he was quiet for a minute, and then he said, Mommy, you're acting just like Adam in the Gan Eden. I said, what? He said, you know how like when Hashem said, where are you, Adam? And he said, I'm hiding. But he couldn't hide because God knew where he was. And I'm like, wait, my son is six and he already sees I'm a hypocrite. This is true. And he said, I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, you're only afraid of ladies with stupid hats on. We parked around the corner, and that night my husband and I talked about it, and we decided that if a six-year-old could see we were hypocrites, that we were either going to join a conservative shul, or we were going to stop driving. And we stopped driving, and you know how it is. You start doing it, and you start understanding. Isn't that what we did at Sinai? We said we'd do it, and then we'd get it, and we started to do it. And we got it. We fell in love with it. And just kept learning, and learning, and learning, and learning, and wanting more and more, and our children helped lead the way. It helped lead the way. I do a bunch of stuff. I speak. I'm on the speaker circuit. I work at the Village Shul in Toronto, for Ish Torah, helping bring the message out there. And I'm a mommy.
The best job.
Anybody else? That's my answer. Truthfully, the truth is that I was already 37 years old and I didn't know half of, I didn't know an eighth of what you know now. But the difference was, I was already past like fighting and needing to kind of, I knew what the world was. I helped, you know, create it. So, please trust me when I tell you, you don't want what's broken. Anybody else? Yes. The next time she says, do I look fat in this? The best answer to a friend? Well, you can either take the humorous approach. You can say, you mean for like Africa or for like Canada? My answer to that question is always the same. You look beautiful. No, I know, but do I look fat? You are beautiful. Don't take the bait. Good, she'll stop asking the truth. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Just answer with a stock answer, and especially since you all heard me, here's your new answer. Adrian Gold said the next time somebody says, do I look fat in that, to either kick them for her or say, you look and are beautiful. I'll kick them on my head. Okay, anyone else? Yes?
Yeah, we want to thank you for sharing your expertise with us and all your wonderful knowledges.
No diet soda. Repeat after me. No diet. Just remember. Actually, here's another really good answer for do I look fat in this.
good answer is, you should say the only person who needs to decide about your weight is your doctor. Okay? What would you? She, her question was, what would you do with a friend who you know is underweight and has lost more weight? Somebody you know is at risk? What would you do if you were a mother and your son ran out into the middle of traffic? What would you do?
I would run out
and scream and cry. If you truly believe there's a problem, then it is your obligation to intervene. One of the Mishnahs teaches us that while we do not have to complete the dehas, nor are we free from avoiding it, right? We've all learned that one. You can't necessarily do anything, but you have to say something. And even if that means taking her hands and saying, I'm worried about you, you've lost a lot of weight and you're losing more. I need to know if there's a problem. I need to know how I can be your friend. I need to know if I should be going to your parents. Yeah, it is a problem. It's a huge problem. I didn't want to address that with you guys, but when I did this class the last time for adults, I explained to many women that when you ask your daughter every 5 minutes, how are you looking, if you look fat in this, then she's going to inculcate that message. But you see, the truth is that you owe honor and covet to your parents. And sometimes, in a situation where you know that the household is unhealthy and you see that there's a problem with it, you have to decide, though, whether you're making an aesthetic call or a health call. So one of the things that I would do in a situation like that is I would go to the teachers and I would have the teachers deal with the parents. If you really believe there's a problem in the household, if your friend came to school with, like, burn marks or beating marks, you would, you know, go to the teacher and say, anonymously, there's somebody who I think has a problem. I think that something needs to be done, and let your school address it. Do it anonymously, but make it easier. Don't ignore it. Does that answer it? Okay. Anyone else?
You don't like me.
Okay. Yeah. Like, and I will still say to a friend, you know what? Has she already bought the dress or she's trying it on? So it's a problem. It's a problem because it's a done deal. One of the things I will say is, you know, I don't think that's as flattering on you as your other one. Like, always offer up another one. You look really nice, but you look so amazing in the other one. You should change. It helps her save face. Save her dignity, and hopefully she'll get the message. And if she says, see, what do you mean? Are you telling me I look bad in this dress? You say, no, I said, it's not as flattering as the other ones. What do you mean flattering? Do I look bad in this? Would you stop it? I mean, what do you mean I'm letting everything I say? I'm just telling you it's not as flattering. Well, I have to badger down, right? Stick your guns. Yeah? Will you stop? We need to stop. It was really, really nice to meet all of you.